Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on the feast day of St. Palladius. He was an early Irish missionary, the first bishop of Ireland, and the immediate predecessor to St. Patrick. He was originally of British or Roman descent and was a deacon, and convinced Pope Celestine I to send St. Germanus, then a bishop, to England with the aim of expunging the Pelagian heresy. Palladius founded three churches near Leinster, but his mission made little impact upon the native population. He left Ireland, went to Scotland, where he lived for a short time. He died near Aberdeen. Got a lot going on in today's trumpet. We're going to learn about a catechist dinner that St. Joan of Arc Parish is putting together. We'll talk to OSU grad David Bethel, who will be a St. Paul outreach missionary. And Bill Messerly will talk to Deacon Michael Harchi about his vocations and his faith. First up on the trumpet, Have a Heart for the Next Generation is a pro-life event taking place on the streets of Dayton, Ohio, July 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. We have a prophetic privilege and an obligation to demonstrate the loving heart of God, not just articulated. God loves unborn people and hates when they are murdered. You're invited to be a part of this great happening, standing for the unborn and being a model of conviction and courage for the next generation. Heart for the Next Generation will take place at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton. There will be dynamic outreach meetings in the streets, special times of teaching and equipping, and inspirational worship and preaching services in the evening. One of the speakers in attendance will be Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life. And joining him will be Brian Kemper, founder of Stand True Pro-Life Outreach and the Director of Youth Outreach for Priests for Life. Carrie spoke with Brian about this event.
Joining us on the trumpet today is Brian Kemper, who is the founder of Stand True Pro-Life Outreach and the Director of the Youth Outreach for Priests for Life. Welcome to the trumpet, Brian.
Oh, what an honor. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited to have you. And we hear there's going to be a rally in Dayton, Ohio on July 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Montgomery Fairgrounds. Tell us about what this event is going to be.
Well, it's called A Heart for the Next Generation. And, you know, it's a really amazing event, I think, when you have so many different groups coming together, so many different people. I know Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life is coming out. I'll be there to join them on the last day of the event. But we're going to have our mission team there all day. And it's just basically calling for the Dayton area to really have a heart for the next generation, that we are not going to hand down another 40 years of Roe versus Wade. We are not going to hand down another 40 years of child killing to this next generation. It's time to end this. We got to stop fighting abortion, and we need to end abortion. And this is a great place to start here in Dayton, the one remaining abortion mill. We can get this closed and make Dayton an abortion-free area and then continue to move on. And I'm just excited to be a part of it, to have our mission team be a part of it, and to really get the Christians in the Dayton area to stand together, united against child killing. I've said so many times whenever I speak that abortion remains legal by permission of Christians who do nothing about it. And that's really the truth. If you were to take a map of any city and put a red dot for every abortion mill and then a blue dot for every church, there's an ocean of blue surrounding a couple of little red dots. There's absolutely no reason those abortion mills should still exist. The churches need to stand up, and they need to go to the gates of hell and prevail. And that's what we need to do.
That is such an awesome visual, too, is you think about it, there's an ocean of churches just like God's ocean of mercy. So
absolutely,
this endeavor is amazing. I hear that there's going to be hundreds and maybe thousands of pro-life leaders from all over the country coming in and really just walking the streets and doing some trainings and doing some rallies. So it sounds like it's going to be a really impactful event.
Absolutely. I am so excited to be able to come. I'll only get to be there on the last day. I have to be at another conference to speak before that. But I know Father Frank will be there on the first day. Some of our mission team will be there every day. And being from the Dayton area, living in Troy, Ohio, where our Stand True office, I'm excited to have this and have the opportunity to make our area abortion-free and to close down this last abortion mill.
Well, we're very excited that this will be happening on July 16th through the 19th, and hopefully we'll get to meet up with you on the streets of the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton. Thank you, Brian, for joining us, and we really look forward to seeing what this next generation is going to do.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you, Brian.
For more information, please visit heartfornextgeneration.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 5 minutes past the hour. On May 2nd, Bishop Frederick Campbell ordained 5 new diocesan transitional deacons: Deacon Tony Davis from St. Joseph in Dover, Deacon Tom Gardner from St. Catherine, Deacon Michael Harchie from St. Matthew, Deacon Brian O'Connor from Seton Parish, and Deacon Nick Ventura from Lancaster St. Mary the Assumption. Each will be working within a parish this summer and will be entering their last year in seminary with the hopes of being ordained next May. Our own Bill Messerly sat down with newly ordained Deacon Michael Harchie and spoke about his ordination to the transitional diaconate and his vocation story.
So, Deacon Michael Harchie, how does it feel to be ordained a transitional deacon?
Honestly, Bill, it's pretty exciting. You know, especially being at my home parish of St. Matthew's, that's been sort of a rich opportunity already, being able to, you know, visit the kids and at the lunchtime and stuff, and you know, be able to preach to their class masses and do those sorts of things. And it just adds a certain dynamic being a deacon when you can, you know, walk around and wearing clerics instead of, you know, being a, you know, just a seminarian and regular clothes and all these other summer assignments. But, you know, when you're in clerics as a deacon, the kids kind of respond to that and in a really unique way and really positive way. So that's been a lot of fun for me so far. And of course, you know, the people around the parish and around the diocese are very happy and supportive. So it's really been a joy so far.
The kids really get a kick out of that, don't they, when they have you visit?
Yeah, sure. Especially sitting down with them at lunch. I mean, they just, you know, go on and on and on and, you know, telling you about everything in their life. So, they get a kick out of it. It's pretty cool.
You're listening to one of the Diocese of Columbus's newest transitional deacons, Deacon Michael Harchie. He was ordained to the diaconate on May 2nd by Bishop Frederick Campbell. And now you're serving at your home parish, mm-hmm. St. Matthew. Tell us about that experience.
Well, Father Sill, the pastor there, has really been generous in giving me a lot of opportunities to preach, to help out with funerals. You know, the kind of when the deacons we can do, like, you know, the wake services at a funeral home, or maybe like a final committal. So I've done some stuff like that, and that's just been, you know, really, really gratifying to be able to be there for people in those, you know, kind of hard moments of their life, especially people that I knew. You know, aside from that, getting into, you know, doing some communion calls, and which I've, you know, done in previous summers, but looking forward to getting into that again at St. Matthew's. So again, you know, preaching at a lot of masses, I was able to preach on, you know, the Feast of the Ascension and Corpus Christi. And really, these are just opportunities that I've been looking forward to for really the past 5 years in seminary, and to be able to get out there and, you know, deacon at the altar and again, and just be, you know, be out with, you know, with the people of the parish in their homes too, it's a great opportunity.
So you are ordained or transitional deacon. Tell us the difference between a transitional deacon and a permanent deacon.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Bill, because really, all of our listeners should know that there really is not much of a difference at all in what we can do. We're all the same deacon. So a permanent deacon and a transitional deacon can really do all the same things, you know, preach, help out with, you know, funerals, assisting at marriages, you know, outside of mass especially. But the major difference is permanent deacons are usually married, and I think in our case, in our diocese, all of them are married with a family. But for a transitional deacon, we are sort of transitioning from diaconate to being a priest. Now, we'll always be a deacon, but we're just, you know, looking forward to that next step, that next ordination and holy orders to priesthood, whereas a permanent deacon has a agreed and you know, made the promises to be a permanent deacon.
This is St. Gabriel's Trumpet, and you're hearing from transitional deacon, Deacon Michael Harchie. Deacon Harchie is working this summer at his home parish of St. Matthew in Gahanna. Deacon Harchie, when did you first hear the call or have the inkling that you might be called to the priesthood?
Really, kind of early on, you know, younger in grade school, especially when we started to serve in, I think, fifth or sixth grade, but I think about it on and off before that, but it's, you know, especially getting into the altar serving and, you know, getting kind of close with some of the priests there and, you know, serving some weddings for them and thinking like, this is, you know, this is kind of a nice thing to, you know, to do extra things like that. And, so early on, I started thinking about it and was thinking about it off and on during high school and college even, and, you know, attended a live-in at the Josephinum in my senior year of high school. But, you know, couldn't quite make the plunge then, and talked about it with, you know, good priest friends and my parents and other friends, and everyone was supportive, but no one really pushed me in one direction, which is I think you know, a good thing for me and for anyone who has maybe a son or a friend considering the priesthood. But you know, so thinking about it off and on, and then you know, a couple of years after college, finally being ready to sort of take the plunge and at least try seminary, and it's really been the best decision I ever made.
So you attended St. Charles Preparatory
yep.
School. And how did that prepare you for your college and then eventually the seminary at the Pontifical College Josephinum?
Well, you know, pretty well. And St. Charles is a unique place because it is, you know, an all-boys high school here in the diocese and the only one. So, you know, just being close with the guys I went to high school with still and still being, you know, friends with them and is you know, just really great source of support for me since being in seminary too. But so it definitely prepared me academically, spiritually to enter seminary and for college for that matter, just a, you know, a place to really, you know, teaches you how to study, how to knuckle down and work. And so that helped me in college kind of to try to stay focused. And then, you know, just went to Ohio University for college and liked that enough, but after working for a couple of years, I just, you know, thought now's the time to try to do it. So
you're listening to Deacon Michael Hartshee, one of our newest transitional deacons here in the Diocese of Columbus. Deacon Hartshee, we wish you the best of luck this summer, and we have one more year left, huh? Is that correct?
Yeah, one more year.
Hard and to then believe. You'll Five be ordained down. when next year.
It's the last weekend in May of, 2015. So,
well, thank you for answering the call, for being so level-headed, approachable, and good with people. I know that everybody at St. Matthew's loves you, and anybody that's come in contact with you has as well. So God bless you for your answering the call to the priesthood. And do you want to give any encouragement to any other young men or parents out there as it relates to encouraging their youth to enter the priesthood?
Well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here with you today, too. But yeah, in that regard, you know, I'd just like to encourage, you know, any young man out there who's maybe considering priesthood to know if you feel the call. I mean, seminary is really the best place to go discern that call. And once you enter seminary, you're not signing on a dotted line and saying, I will be a priest. It's just a place to, you know, to pray and discern and study with a group of guys who are, you know, like-minded and trying to find their vocation too. And as far as, you know, the parents go, encourage your sons, to do that. And I would say too, you know, it's gotta be from God. It can't be like a vocation you want to give to your son or, you know, will for him, but you can certainly, you know, certainly pray that your sons hear the call, if you think they might be called to being a priest. But yeah, just encourage parents to keep praying for your sons and encourage them if they express an interest.
Thank you, Deacon Michael Hartshee.
Thanks, Bill.
All the transitional deacons are busy at work this summer. Deacon Tony Davis is at St. Joseph Cathedral. Deacon Tom Gardner is at St. Paul the Apostle in Westerville. As you heard, Deacon Hartshee will serve at his home parish, St. Matthew in Gehenna. Deacon Brian O'Connor will serve at his home parish at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and Deacon Nick Ventura will be at his home parish at Lancaster St. Mary the Assumption. Let us pray and give thanks for our new transitional deacons that they bring the charity of Christ to the heart of the diaconal life.
Okay, Sue, let's tell everybody what's going on in the diocese.
This weekend, July 11th through 13th, the 4th Annual Columbus Marian Conference will take place at Ohio Dominican University at 1216 Sunbury Road in Columbus. The cost is only $50 in advance and $55 at the door, and includes lunch and dinner on Saturday and lunch on Sunday. The speakers include Father Isaac Mary Relier, a Franciscan, Father Chad Ripperberger, exorcist for the Diocese of Tulsa and Omaha, Monsignor Eugene Morris from the Pontifical College Josephinum, Third Order Carmelite singer Donna Corey Gibson, and many more. The conference begins Friday evening at 6 p.m. with the Angelus and Rosary. For more information, visit columbusmarianconference.weebly.com. Parish festivals this weekend include St. Timothy at 1088 Thomas Lane in Columbus, Friday and Saturday from 6 to midnight. Also, St. Luke Parish in Danville at the corner of Rambo and Market Street from 5 until 10 p.m. on Saturday. Robert Wisniewski, Columbus St. Joseph Cathedral Principal Organist, will present a recital on the cathedral's Fritz organ at 7:30 p.m. Sunday, July 13th. The program will feature the works of Bach, Bruns, Weider, and Wisniewski. For information, call 614-241-2526, extension 303. Back to you, Chip.
After college, many graduates contemplate what their next chapter will be in their life. One of those options could be to take a year and do missionary work. David Bethel is a new OSU graduate who has decided to take the opportunity to do missionary work at a university in New Jersey with SPO. His job as missionary will be to help college students overcome the challenges and obstacles to their faith and to reach out to them in order to help them have a true encounter and relationship with Christ. Carrie spoke with David about what his journey will be like.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is David Bethel, who is an OSU student who graduated this past December and who is going to be doing missionary work with SPO. So thank you for joining us on The Trumpet today.
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about what you are going to be doing with SPO and what that experience is going to be like.
So I'm going to be taking the next year and serving full-time as a missionary on a college campus. I was placed at Seton Hall University, so I'll be living in the dorm rooms with another recent college grad, and we'll be outreaching to the freshmen and sophomores in our dorm building, as well as students across campus, trying to call them to an encounter with Christ.
And what will that experience be like, knowing the challenges that some of our young adults and college students are facing? What will some of those challenges be, and what will that experience be like for you to try to help them meet those challenges?
I think the biggest challenge we'll probably face is our culture. So freshmen coming into college and students who have been in college are being fed and exposed to a culture that's really promoting, just encouraging people to just look wherever they want for fulfillment and love, and to look for it in pleasure, to look for it in unchaste relationships, to look for it in money, power, possessions. So we're really stepping into that and trying to be available to students and speak to students and invite students to something else. So we're going to try and be creating a counterculture to that through myself and my fellow staffers, and through our organization, through the students who are involved. We're going to try to create a culture of mission, of discipleship, where students can have an encounter with Christ. Because students could be very well catechized, coming from amazing families, but if they haven't encountered Christ in a personal way, then that can all just be thrown out the window. When I was in college, I knew that some things were wrong that I was doing, but I just rationalized. I would say, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but at least I'm not doing that. Maybe I shouldn't be out here pursuing this life, pursuing these things, but it's what everyone on my floor is doing, so it must be okay. And I didn't have anyone to show me the way to say, come follow me as I follow Christ. No one to sit down with me and have a conversation over a meal to say, hey, why don't we talk about what your goals are in life. Why don't we look at your life and see, where are you being fulfilled and what are the struggles? What's bringing you down right now? If someone had asked me those questions, we would have distilled it down and I would have probably realized it's these relationships. It's this life of drinking and partying that's really dragging me down. I'm looking for fulfillment in it. I'm looking for purpose and love, but it's actually bringing about the opposite. It's bringing despair. It's bringing pain and it's bringing emptiness.
I see some of the college students going away to school. And if they've come from families that have really been practicing Catholic families, sometimes I wonder, do they feel like they're breaking away from the rules and regulations that they see that Catholic families are putting around them, these parameters and these laws? And then all of a sudden they get to college and they say they want to experience that sense of freedom, right? And they may see that freedom being the partying scene. But But in reality, the freedom is truly that experience and that encounter with Christ. So how, as you're reaching out to these students, what is an initial step that you may take with them to make them see that difference?
Well, firstly, we just want to reach students wherever they're at. So depending on where a student is at, I'll approach them in a different way. So I might meet a student after Mass and discern and realize, this guy is pretty solid. He comes from a pretty solid background. I'm just going to invite him to my Bible study right off the bat. But then I might meet another guy at a party or on the street on a Friday night when I'm walking around and say, this guy's kind of rough around the edges. He's a little bit raw. So I might invite him to come play sports with us. Or I might invite him to go grab a dinner or something where I can just start to build a relationship and have a conversation. Because we really want to evangelize in a relational sense. So students need to trust us before we can come at them with the Bible or scripture or the magisterium. If students think we're just another authority figure trying to tell them what they can and can't do and shouldn't do, we're not going to be effective in the ministry. So I think a lot of the reason that students go off to college and kind of end up in left field is because it is in their minds all about rules. It's all about someone telling them, you can't do this, you can't do this, follow these rules and you'll be good. When our faith isn't really about rules at all. We have rules, but our faith is about a relationship with Christ. And if students don't have that, then it's going to be really easy for them to start to rationalize away the rules and to just start breaking the rules and saying, well, they're more of guidelines. They're really signposts, but I'm okay. I'm not hurting anyone. And they can really end up in a bad place that way.
Well, David, I think you're going to be an amazing and blessed missionary. So thank you for all your work that you will be doing with SPO. And for any other missionary opportunities, can people go and seek out different opportunities through SPO?
Yeah, we have a website, spoweb.org. So people can go there and find out more about the organization.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, David, and we wish you much luck and many blessings on this new journey.
Thank you very much.
To find out more information about the missionary opportunities with SPO, please visit spoweb.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 23 minutes past the hour. On August 17th, St. Joan of Arc Parish will be hosting a catechist dinner and will be having several speakers. Elizabeth Ficicelli will be one of the presenters. Part of her ministry is talking to parents and teachers about a four-step process that they can learn to help children develop a relationship with Jesus. Trumpet correspondent Carrie Migalski sat down with Elizabeth as she shared her thoughts about assisting children in the journey of deepening their faith.
Joining us today on the Trumpet is Elizabeth Ficicelli. She will be conducting and presenting at a catechist dinner at St. Joan of Arc Church on August 17th. And Elizabeth, tell us about what you will be presenting at this catechist dinner.
Hi, Carrie. It's good to be on the program. And well, as you know, I do the radio program Answering the Call here in St. Gabriel. But part of my ministry is also book writing and speaking. And I was invited to come to St. Joan of Arc on August 17th. They're having a dinner for their catechists. So they have a parish school of religion because St. Joan doesn't have a school. So they do their education through PSR program. And I think it's a wonderful thing that they're having a dinner. I don't know if this is something they do on a regular basis where they bring speakers in. But what they've asked me to do is called Helping Kids Develop a Personal Relationship with Jesus. And it's based on a book I did called Imitation of Christ for Children. I had been approached by a publisher years ago to take the classic Thomas A. Kempis's Imitation of Christ, which is a book for adults on how to essentially develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which is something I see as I go out and speak among Catholics, that this is one area I think that our church needs to catch up with a little bit to some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, is this whole concept of developing a personal relationship with Jesus. And this is where Jesus comes out of the pages of Scripture and comes into our lives in very real and tangible ways and transforms us and becomes a part of our day-to-day living. So it's really important that we, not only as adult Catholics, develop this personal relationship with Jesus, but that we as parents and as teachers help instill this in our young people from the earliest ages onward. So what this presentation is a four-step journey, just like Thomas A. Kempis's book, Imitation of Christ, but it's meant for these young people. And the typical age for these kids that I've tried to reach with this presentation, or the teachers who teach these kids, would be like 8-year-olds to about 13. So in other words, children who have made their first Holy Communion, you know, just came off of that, and now they're preparing eventually for confirmation. It's in that middle grades where I don't think there's a lot, first of all, for them. And also doing the show, answering the call, that's often an age where people might feel their first callings to a religious vocation. It's where they become aware of Jesus in their lives. So this presentation is a 4-step journey on how to develop this personal relationship with Jesus, from beginning to talk to him and listen to him and participate more deeply in spirituality and in the Mass. And eventually the relationship culminates actually with the reception of Holy Communion, because that is our most intimate way, at least on this earth, that we can experience Jesus Christ.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you for sharing that information with us. If somebody wasn't able to go to that dinner, how can a catechist or a parent get some of these tips and tools that you will be presenting? Do you have a website or any contact information?
I do. People can just Google my name, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and my website will come up. And the book, Imitation of Christ for Children, is there. And the other thing that's nice about the book, if they're not able to make it to the presentation, or even if they are able to make it to the presentation, this little paperback book will recap what I've talked about, plus more. And at the end of each of these chapters, these 4 steps of this journey, there's activities that can be done either at home or in the classroom to really kind of make these concepts come alive and kind of retain them in the young people.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for all that you're doing for our parish community and for the Diocese of Columbus.
For more information on Elizabeth Ficicelli's presentation, visit ElizabethFicicelli.com. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.